This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A major shift at the CDC could impact the types of vaccines Americans receive. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. terminated all 17 members of the independent advisory panel that makes recommendations on vaccines. ABC's Steve Osunsami says Kennedy says he'll replace them with his picks. That's created a walkout at CDC headquarters in Atlanta.
We talked to a group of some of these employees. Some of them were retirees who decided to leave the agency because they saw what was happening. And they're concerned about what this means to the American public, and also tell us they're concerned about who replaces these individuals.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom has filed an emergency order asking a federal judge to intervene and stop federal troops from deploying. President Trump mobilized those federal troops to help with unrest over immigration raids in the city. The president in North Carolina this hour, he'll deliver remarks at Fort Bragg Army Base celebrating the Army's 250th anniversary. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A bridge crossing the Mississippi River to the south of La Crosse is open once again. The Blackhawk Bridge, which takes motorists from Wisconsin to Lansing, Iowa, reopened Monday morning. It was closed on May 17th due to one of its piers moving, but Iowa DOT officials said the bridge is safe to cross. The DOT said that it is planning future closures due to construction of the 94-year-old bridge's replacement, which is set to open in 2027. The current bridge was also closed last year for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. Who will run for governor next year? The current governor isn't ready to announce his plans yet. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
A breakdown in negotiations over a tax cut and other spending measures in Wisconsin threatens to put the 2026 race for governor on hold, with the Democratic incumbent saying he won't announce his decision on seeking a third term in the swing state until after a budget deal is done. Wisconsin is poised to be in the national political spotlight again next year, with the race for governor and a fight over control of the legislature.
Currently, only two candidates have officially declared their candidacy. Republican Josh Showman and Democrat Zachary Roper are the first two in the mix. There are three committee meetings today in city government. One of those is a city council planning meeting about the city's budget building process tonight. Tomorrow, the city administrator workgroup will meet. Thursday is the common council meeting, where resolutions on the final steps needed for the school district of La Crosse to begin work on two elementary schools will be decided, as well as a pair of proposals that would raise the stormwater utility fee twice in the next 7 months, and again each of the following 3 years. Rain is on the way. Clouds begin moving in overnight with slight chances of showers tomorrow. Highs will top out around 80 degrees. Better chances at precipitation begin overnight Wednesday into Thursday and again Thursday through Friday night. Temperatures will stay in the 70s throughout the rest of the week before bouncing back into the 80s over the weekend. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Brewers try to rebound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight at AmFam Field, where the Brewers host the Braves in Game 2 of their series. Quinn Priester on the mound for Milwaukee against the Braves' right-hander Grant Holmes. The Brewers losing last night 7-1. The team making some roster moves today, sending reliever Grant Anderson down to Nashville and recalling right-hand pitcher Easton McGee. NFL Packers minicamp underway. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst, why couldn't they hang on to defensive back Jaire Alexander when they still have $46 million left under the salary cap?
I think, you know, over the last 4 years, you know, there's been a lot of games missed. And I just think for what that amount of money is, I think that's a lot to pay for a guy who hasn't been able to get out on the field. Like, it's not his fault, just something that kind of transpired. We're looking for something different.
Today, the Packers move Bo Melton from wide receiver to defensive back.
Again, as play on special teams, it's just you don't have too many wideouts in this league that are as effective as he is on teams.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and milder tonight with a low in the low 60s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds, chance of showers in the afternoon and evening. High 80 to the low 80s. Shower chances continue on Thursday. With more clouds, cooler highs, mid 70s. Right now it's 73.
Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins me to talk new movies. Then producer, director, editor, and Wisconsinology founder Frank Anderson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed, and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Hey. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Angela Lang, and I am joined today with guest co-host Dan Schaefer, and we have some great guests. What's up, Dan?
What's up, Angela? Thanks so much for having me co-host here with you. We're in Racine. We're having a good time. We're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
It's going to be great. Shout out to Maggie for letting us fill in. And at the top of the hour, Lord knows I cannot be on radio without our good friend, Matt Rothschild. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing fine, Angela. Thanks for having me on. It's great to see you and Dan and to hear your beautiful voices.
Of course. We have a lot to talk about from the last few days, but also a couple of us wrote some pieces, which we will get into later in the show. Myself and State Representative Darren Madison wrote a piece that dropped yesterday talking about what we wanted to see in the next WISDEMS chair. And then,
and you can find that at the recombobulation area.
At the recombobulation area, of course. And then Dan also wrote a piece. Give folks a taste of what it's about.
Yeah, I wrote a piece that I've been working on for a little while now. And it is one that I feel pretty passionate about. And I think it is a conversation that we need to be having here in the state of Wisconsin. Those of us left of center who might align with Democrats, whatever it might be. But I wrote a piece about why I think Tony Evers should not seek a third term as governor of the state of Wisconsin. So the piece is up, published today. It's called Pass the Torch. Tony Evers should not run for a third term as governor. Wisconsin's governor needs to do what so many other Democrats have failed to do and step aside when the time is right. And right now, I think the time is right. So we will have a few opportunities to get into it there. You know, if you have thoughts out there in the civic media listening audience, we are taking your calls.
Yes.
We're taking your perspectives. We want to have this conversation.
Absolutely.
I think this is a conversation we need to be having. We, like with Biden in 2023, we probably should have been having a more substantive conversation about what was going on at that time as well. So we want to be having this conversation here with you on the Civic Media Network as well.
Awesome. Definitely looking forward to that. So I would say, Matt, let's just jump straight in it. As we continue to watch the breaking news of the actions and protests in LA, and how they continue to escalate as a response to the ICE raids. You're one of the first people I immediately thought of, given all of our conversations every other time we've been on the radio. Wanted to get your observations of what we are seeing now in this current moment, and if there's anything that scares you about what we're seeing.
Oh, there's a lot that scares me. We are further down the hill to authoritarianism than we were the last time we spoke. That's the theme of our conversations. Where is our democracy right now, and how far are we slipping? And we slipped a lot this week. I mean, just to level set, as Maggie would put it, I want to review Trump's memo that allowed the National Guard to go over the heads of the governor and the mayor in California to Los Angeles, because he said, I'm quoting now from it, units of the National Guard will temporarily protect ICE and other United States government personnel who are performing federal functions, including the enforcement of federal law, and protect federal property at locations where protests against these functions are occurring or are likely to occur. That's about as broad as you can get. That's not limited to Los Angeles. It's not limited in time. So he's going to be able to send out the National Guard, according to his own discretion, anytime he wants, in claiming that authority, which is in the courts right now. But he also said at the end of that order that the Secretary of Defense may employ any other members of the regular armed forces as necessary to augment and support the role, support the protection of federal functions and property in any number determined appropriate in his discretion. So that gives Secretary of Defense Hegseth enormous authority. So that's how this got set up. I mean, we're not supposed to have the military in our streets. We are having the military in our streets in Los Angeles. This is a huge violation of tradition and a huge violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. And we're one step closer to martial law right now. And that's what's so scary to me. And then today, I mean, breaking news, Hegseth himself said that the Marines may accompany ICE on their raids. So we're going to have the Marines going along with ICE, you know, to Home Depots, to restaurants, to factories. And this is going to be extraordinarily provocative in Los Angeles and other places if they do this in other places. So it is really kind of the disaster that I was most worried about, which is Trump doing a kind of martial law thing with bringing the military into the streets of our country. And so that's where we are today. It's a very scary moment. Our democracy is hanging by a thread right now. And that's why it's so important to have nonviolent protests all across the country, which we're going to be seeing this weekend.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what's, if you zoom out and take a look at what's happening in Los Angeles, I think there's going to be a lot of communities around the country that are going to be having protests in response to what's been happening with ICE as well. You know, and we also have this weekend, there are those No Kings protests mm-hmm. that are happening. But I think this is, you know, I do get the sense that this is kind of what the Trump-Vance regime wants. I think they want this public showcase because, you know, one of the things I always come back to from the campaign last year when Donald Trump and J.D. Vance were talking about the city in Ohio that had, you know, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, the line that he said in the debate, yeah. right? And I think there was a story after the fact that J.D. Vance acknowledged that a lot of what they were talking about was not true.
Yeah, yeah.
He acknowledged that.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that we want to be talking about this issue. So they used the pretense of this conspiracy theory going on in Ohio to advance the issue that that they wanted to get in on the forefront and mm-hmm. the issue that they thought they were winning on, which is immigration. Yep. Donald Trump later in the campaign or after the election said, my number one issue is immigration. So think back to what we were talking about last week.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the massive unpopularity of the quote unquote big, beautiful bill
mm-hmm.
and how many people it would be taking health care away from. Yep. We saw the blow up between Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Yep.
Now all of those things are off the headlines because Stephen Miller gave this directive to say, go to Home Depot, go to restaurants, go to wherever and start deporting people from their workplaces. And so they have successfully, I think, changed the conversation from what we were talking about last week with this disastrous bill, with the fallout from Elon Musk, the failure of Doge, the chaos of the administration. And now we are back to talking about the issue that Trump and Vance and his and Stephen Miller want to be talking about, which is immigration.
Certainly it was to change the subject, Dan. I agree with that. But I think it's more than that, too.
Yeah.
It's the fulfillment of a fantasy that Donald Trump has had for years.
Oh, for
that
sure.
He can, you know, just bring the military out whenever he wants against people who are protesting against his policies. He dreamt about it and tried to implement it his first time around and asked the Pentagon, why can't we just shoot those Black Lives Matter protesters, shoot them in the knees, and the military wouldn't say yes. Well, now he's got Hegseth over there, and they've cleaned house in the military, so they got a bunch of yes men. I mean, this is the thing. Trump is surrounded by fascists. Trump is himself a fascist. He's surrounded by fascists and sycophants, or people who are both sycophascists, if you will. And so, you know, there's no one to stop him. His worst impulses are being echoed by people like Stephen Miller. You mentioned him, Dan. Here's what he had to say today. The threat being made here by Mayor Bass is explicit. The mayor of L.A. is effectively saying the mob violence is caused by the mere presence of ICE in the city, and the violence against ICE will not stop unless federal law enforcement is withdrawn. This is the definition of insurrection, says Stephen Miller. You know, he didn't use insurrection about January 6th, which was a real insurrection. So, you know, they're seizing on these protests that were violent in a little bit apart, but most of the protests were peaceful. We need to remind people of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seizing on that to try to aggrandize power in the hands of the president and shred more of our democracy, as he's been going after one aspect of civil society after another. And this is a culmination of that effort.
And I think what's important, too, is that language matters in this moment, right? Building on what you're saying, Dan, about how they're trying to instill a particular narrative, you know, people are like, the unrest or the riots. And I'm like, these are peaceful protests, you know, and I've seen some commentary on social media, even from like more moderate Dems that are like, oh, I don't agree with this because this is just only playing into Trump's hand. And it does, to a lot of extent, feel like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because if you don't resist, he's like, no one's resisting. I guess I should keep going. But if you do resist, what is that balance before it turned into his justification for things like martial law? And we have to also understand that our language plays a role in reinforcing his agenda by even calling it a riot when we've seen it was largely peaceful. And if things did get a little tense, it was only after the military had arrived.
Right. Right. I think that's such an important point. Like, that's when things really got ratcheted up. That's when things got to, you know, it started to seem more dangerous. And people so often, when these protests happen, they just want to talk about the optics of things.
Yeah. Yep.
People don't want to talk about what the genesis of why people were protesting is. And, you know, the LA Times has done some really good reporting on this that I've read. Some of the other local report. I always try to go to a local source whenever we're, you know, something big like this is happening, instead of just having the national media parachute into that. I think we've experienced that from time to time here in Wisconsin.
You know.
But I think, you know, you go to some of these local sources, and they're talking about showing up at Home Depots, showing up at various places in working class neighborhoods, rounding people up and trying to arrest them. And we know that the Trump administration has been trampling due process. We know that the Trump administration and ICE has been taking a number of tactics that maybe are a little bit out of bounds, to put it mildly, perhaps. And so I think it is important to get to what started this. And, you know, I think a lot of Americans would support an initiative to, yes, we're going to deal with the violent offenders. We're going to deal with actual criminals.
But that's
we're going to deport those people. And we're going to, you know, and the other line that they always go to, oh, well, they're, you know, mooching off the country and trying to get benefits. These are people trying to get a job at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Right. These are families. These are working class families.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a number of other stories about like this impacting children, all of those other things.
Mm-hmm.
I think you go back to the genesis of that. How can you not disagree with, you know, people being, you know, just shown up at their workplace. This is not going after violent criminals.
Yep.
This is not going after people who are taking advantage of the system. This is going after working class people.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part, I think, of all of this. And I think that's part of the cruelty in it all.
Yeah.
And cruelty and sadism is part of their playbook. This is what authoritarians do. They flaunt their sadism. They're breaking up families right before our very eyes. And it's grotesque, and that's why there's so many protests out there. And the vast majority of the protests are nonviolent. Yeah, a couple cars were set on fire, and some hooligans were throwing rocks at police cars from a bridge. I get that. But almost all the protesters, other than those, were nonviolent. So let's focus on that.
More on this coming up after the break here on the Maggie Dawn Show. And we'll have guests to talk to. We will talk about my column. We will talk about Angela's column. If you have any other thoughts on what's happening in Los Angeles, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we will be right back. Stick with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I'm Angela Lang, joined by my good friends Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschilds. And we have a lot to talk about. But first, I'm going to kick it to Dan about a couple cool things.
Yeah, first we're going to talk a little bit about our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Our word of the hour, drum roll, please, is bug, B-U-G, bug. So that is our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Text us. Listeners must qualify by texting through the Civic Media app. The word must be in the first 20 minutes of the show. And that is our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. The word for the day is bug, B-U-G, bug. Get on
all right.
It. You'll win something.
And it's through the Civic Media app, which I have. It is very easy. I love the fact that I get like push notifications for like updates. So it's another reason to download the app.
And it's a free app.
It's free.
And you can, if you're like driving across the state, you don't know what station you might be in range of, go to the app.
There you go.
You can keep it going.
Yes. I think there's a lot of good conversations, and I think it's important to bring in some callers. We have one caller, Cam from Appleton, and we see you, Jackie, and we'll get to you in a second. Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys. I think you guys have kind of hit on an important topic that I think people need to keep in mind, is that we can't lose sight of important issues that are going on that don't get as much coverage. Kind of like the whole, like, the next big thing has come in the horizon. Let's focus on that. We can't keep doing that. That's not sustainable. It's not doable. And one of those big things is that there is a court case in Rockland County, New York, where they are challenging the results from the 2024 election because they have plenty of evidence, like hard evidence, showing that the data was manipulated. And we need to talk about that way more than it is right now. There's already way more sites as of this week that are broadcasting out information about this lawsuit and showing all the evidence. And I'm not seeing anyone being able to disprove any of it. It looks pretty solid.
Thanks for that, Cam. You know, that is something that I had seen on the interwebs last night. And I will definitely say it is very intriguing, but also, please don't get my hopes up. I think is interesting. You know, I wrestle with, one, what does it feel like to just having a hard time accepting the results, right? Mm-hmm. After November, I was like, this can't be right. Like, something is off. The numbers don't seem to add up, right? And then I was like, do I just sound like those January 6ers just on the other side? But like, also at the same time, I think there are some folks that said, you know, sometimes the math isn't mathing and the numbers aren't adding up. So I'll be curious to see how it plays out. But yeah, it's interesting, right? I think that's a long-term thing, but I think what is in front of us is that we are already in, you know, in fascism. The fact that the military was called on peaceful protesters and its own citizens, that is also something that we need to keep at the forefront as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm all that familiar with what this particular lawsuit might entail.
There was
I missed the details on this one. But also, I you know, there's been a lot of conspiracy theories that have, like, really not risen to the top to these conversations in the past few months since Trump was elected to come back to office. And mm-hmm. and I really have not seen any evidence to suggest that there was any particularly nefarious activities. It's just an unfortunate outcome. And now the train has left the station, and here we are. And so as much as I think, yeah, I think this was a big thing throughout Trump's first term too, is just like all the stuff with the Mueller report and, mm-hmm. and whatever else it might be. People wanted some sort of shoe to drop that would negate this seemingly impossible outcome that we're all living through.
Yep.
And I just think we just have to accept the reality that's in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard pill to swallow. What do you got, Matt?
Yeah, well, train's left the station and it's running people over right now. So, I mean, we got to figure out how do we stop this train? That's really the crucial question before us.
Yeah, I see we have another caller, Jim from Brookfield. What you got for us?
Hello, Matt, Angela, and Dan. I just want to make a point that what's going on out in L.A. is all Trump's doing in the making. You know, this is Stephen Miller overzealous, you know, overreacting, enforcing ICE to the max, and then Donald Trump capitalizing on that by sending in first the National Guard and then the Marines. And my comment question is, why isn't there more outrage directed at our Republican legislators, Congress and Senate, to hold this administration accountable? To start with, you know, why, you know, is ICE acting within the law? You know, are they, you know, really going after, quote unquote, the bad guys, or are they going after working men who just want to, you know, men and women who just want to work at Home Depot? Why isn't there more, you know, accountability that's for this administration by the Republican-led Congress and Senate? He's playing around with these tariffs and negotiates something with Vietnam, and then the next thing you know, Eric Trump's over there with a brand new golf course. You know, why isn't there an inquiry into that? You know, Joe Biden lends his brother money, and they have, you know, years worth of hearings on that. why isn't our Republican-led Congress doing more? And I feel there strongly there should be more outrage regarding that issue.
Yeah, I think the Republican-led Congress is going to have some double standards on this, right?
And
I
mean, everything else.
They are going to treat what Republicans do differently than what Democrats do.
Yeah, as per usual. Thanks for all the callers. We're going to continue taking callers. And that Scotty Summer Text to Win contest is BUG, B-U-G. Make sure you download the Civic Media app to win. And we will come back right after this.
Listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Once again this summer, Gunderson is offering free meals for children. Amplify Health by Gunderson will serve the free meals at its cafeteria for anyone under 18 years old from 6:30 until 9:30 a.m. and from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Meals are available Monday through Friday except for federal holidays. Gunderson will serve the free meals through August 20th. Funding for the free meals comes from the USDA. A full list of summer meal programs for kids in Wisconsin can be found on the DPI website or by calling 211. Gas prices continue to slowly fall here in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell slightly over the last week, dropping 1.7 cents to land at $2.95 today. This is 3 cents higher than a month ago and over 27 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. We aren't the only state where prices declined. Officials at Gas Buddy say refineries have ramped up output and gasoline supplies surged. There is an overall gentle downward trend across the country as summer progresses.
Here in La Crosse, gas prices have trended just under the statewide average for the past month, currently sitting at $2.95 per gallon. That's about 30 cents cheaper than the average price of gas last June. Concern is growing over severe weather forecasting after Trump administration cuts decimated the agency that provides that service. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The National Weather Service is warning of severe staffing shortages in Wisconsin and that none of their offices in the state have a chief meteorologist. The agency has three offices covering a majority of the state, with the Northwest region covered by offices in Minneapolis and Duluth. And due to federal cuts under the Trump administration, the remaining offices have also cut some of their services, like balloon launches.
June and July are historically the most active months for severe weather in Wisconsin. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Tonys are in the books, and the big winner from Sunday night's event was Maybe Happy Ending. The production, a love story about two abandoned robots, was named Best Musical and brought in six other awards as well. According to Variety, the play struggled to find an audience until the reviews came in. Similar to the moving picture box office, the theater industry seems to be back on track following the pandemic, with $1.89 billion in ticket sales, which is a record. Brendan Jacobs Jenkins became only the third playwright to win Tonys in consecutive years with this year's Purpose, a hilarious look at a civil rights leader's dysfunctional family, which won Best Play. Other highlights from the evening include Succession's Sarah Snook, who was named Best Leading Actress in a Play for The Picture of Dorian Gray. And in sad Tony news that really isn't that sad, George Clooney was a bridesmaid for Best Performance by a Leading Actor in Good Night and Good Luck. Still nice to be nominated, or so I'm told. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and milder tonight with a low in the low 60s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds, chance of showers in the afternoon and evening. High 80 to the low 80s. Shower chances continue on Thursday with more clouds, cooler highs, mid-70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, Sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen join us for a Wednesday roundtable, along with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area for his new take on Governor Evers. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am filling in for Maggie. Shout out to Maggie for letting me. And my name is Angela Lang, and I am joined by my friends, Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. We have a lot of good conversations, and we're going to get to your calls in just a second. But
one more reminder here that we are in the middle of the Scani Summer Text to Win Constant Contest, and the word of the hour is bug, B-U-G, bug. Text through the app from now until 5 p.m. That will get you a chance to win one of our hourly grand prizes, including $100 or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, or a chance to win in our grand prize a Wisconsin vacation in either Baraboo in the Wisconsin Dells or Door County, or each with gas money.
And why not?
Lots going on.
Might as well just
so
do B-U-G, it, right?
B-U-G, bug. Text that in the Civic Media app, the free Civic Media app, to win.
Yeah. And then, Matt, you pulled some audios for us. I wanted to give you a moment to kind of tee those up for us before we play them.
Sure. Thanks, Angela. Yeah, because Donald Trump doubled down again today, or tripled down, on his rhetoric about you know, cracking down on protesters, possibly invoking the Insurrection Act. So, Jacob, if you could play the one on the Insurrection Act first and then maybe just go straight into the other one, we'll give our listeners a taste of what the president said today.
Insurrection, I would certainly invoke it. We'll see. But I can tell you last night was terrible. The night before that was terrible. If we didn't get involved right now, Los Angeles would be burning, just like it was burning a number of months ago with all the houses that were lost. Los Angeles right now would be on fire, and we have it in great shape. We're not playing around.
How will you determine whether or not there is an insurrection?
Well, you take a look at what's happening. I mean, I could tell you there were certain areas of that, of Los Angeles, that's not, you could have called it an insurrection. It was terrible.
Celebrating big on Saturday. We're going to have a lot of, and if there's any protest that wants to come out, they will be met with very big force. By the way, for those people that want to protest, they're going to be met with very big force. And I haven't even heard about a protest, but, you know, this is people that hate our country, but they will be met with very heavy force.
There you go. How dare you even try to protest his military parade? I mean, he loves throwing out the term insurrection because that's a prelude to him invoking the Insurrection Act, which he's going to do, I'm quite convinced, at some point along the line here. And he also has a fascination with violence. I mean, he loves threatening force against people. I mean, yesterday he said, you know, they spit, we hit. I mean, today he's talking about, using heavy force. He also said any protests that break out across the country in response to immigration raids will be met with equal or greater force than what's happened in L.A. already. So, I mean, he's just ratcheting up the rhetoric, daring people to protest. He'd be thrilled if there's violence because then he can crack down even more and invoke the Insurrection Act. You know, this is where we're at.
I think what was interesting, going back to language, right? If you really listen to that quote, he said people who want to protest. He didn't say people who are violently protesting, people that are looting or whatever. He just said, if you want to protest, you will be met with force. Mm-hmm. He didn't like that is the most basic of principles, is being able to protest. He didn't say violence. He didn't have caveats. He said, if you want to protest, you are met with this.
Where are all those First Amendment warriors now?
Seriously.
On the right, who have for
free,
so many years talked about free speech.
I should be able to say
talking
that.
Talking about a response to any kind of protest. Yeah, you're right. The language here does matter.
Yeah, and this is what he said a couple of days ago. You know, radical left protests will not be tolerated. I mean, you know, it's just that's discrimination on the basis of content, which is a fundamental violation of the First Amendment. Discriminating against people's viewpoints when they're protesting. So,
yeah.
You know, this guy's got no respect for democracy. He has a fascination with violence. He's an ultra-nationalist. He's cracking down on civil society. These are all the hallmarks of the authoritarian and the fascist, and we should recognize them as such.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we want to bring you all into this conversation. So we have Mark on the line. What do you got for us, Mark?
Yeah, to paraphrase once again, a man whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the leader of a free people. I mean, as you were just saying, he's violating the First Amendment right here. I mean, our right to peacefully assemble for grievances is fundamental to American democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, and this SOB just pardoned all those January 6th protesters who engaged in violence. I mean, they defecated in the U.S. Capitol. I mean, it is just, it's beyond me that this man is, does he realize this is the kind of thing that leads to real violence, and that, I mean, I'm just afraid in this, you know, what happens if there's a mutiny during this military parade by people in the military that level a tank round at him? I mean, that it is just, the powder keg that they want to ignite is just beyond me. It's like, from the movie V for Vendetta, I mean, they took over with their Project Norse Fire, and Project Norse Fire is a lot like Project 2025.
Whew. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I'm definitely concerned about the military parade as well. Mm-hmm. It's a vanity project. It also happens
definitely
to be his birthday, and it's like, no, it's not a birthday party. Okay. Really?
Yeah. And I mean, there's going to be a lot of protests that happen this weekend. We've seen the map of like the No Kings protests that a lot of different groups are getting involved with and organizing. And, you know, look, I have a lot. I don't have nearly as much experience with like protest politics as you do and so many others do. But I just do think that people can't be coming to these protests and creating an environment that would like, if your opposition wanted to like come up with a reason to do this, don't come in with that sort of energy.
Be
to it,
strategic,
right?
Is what I will say.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to the organizers on the ground if you are participating. The organizers are planning. They have had multiple plans in place of how to keep everyone safe. And so it's very, very, very important to always follow the organization's leads. If they say, mm-hmm. get out of the street, get out of the street. You know, there are things that are done tactfully and strategically to keep everyone safe. And so that is the biggest thing that I want to kind of reinforce. And Matt, I know you have a list of all the places that there's going to be protests in Wisconsin.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll rattle it off.
Yeah,
because
go
it's
for
quite
it.
Impressive the breadth and length of these protests all across the state of Wisconsin. And you can find listings at nokings.org and also in the notes to the show here. But here we go from A to whatever, W. Algoma, Amory, Ashland, Baraboo, Brookfield, Chippewa Falls, Delavan, Dodgeville, Eagle River, Eau Claire, Green Bay, Hayward, Janesville, Kenosha, La Crosse, Madison, Manitowoc, Marinette, Marshfield, McFarland, Menominee, Milwaukee, Minocqua, Montello, Mount Horeb, New Glarus, Park Falls, Platteville, Prairie du Chien, Racine, Reedsburg, Richland Center, there you go, Todd, Rhinelander, Sauk Prairie, Shawano, Sheboygan, Shorewood, Spooner, Stevens Point, Stoughton, Sturgeon Bay, Sun Prairie, Viroqua, Watertown, Waupaca, Wausau, West Bend, and Wisconsin Rapids. All these communities are having protests on Saturday. And
wow.
If you want to find out the time and place, you can check the show notes or go to nokings.org or just type in your town and No Kings in Google and you'll find the information you need.
It might have been quicker to list all the places that there weren't protests.
I know. I was going to say, Matt, you got a long list of names there.
It's a good problem to have.
You know, it's a lot. It's a lot of different places. You know, you hear some of these places around Wisconsin that are having these protests, and you might think of them as redder areas of the state or yeah. whatever it might be. But I think it's clear that this approach that the Trump administration has been taking in its second term is not only making people in liberal bastions like Milwaukee and Madison upset, yeah. it is impacting people all across the state, all across the country, and in yeah. such a diverse range of locations and places.
Absolutely.
I'm very proud of the organizers, too, for yeah. getting yeah. this all together and encourage everyone to go. I'm going to go to a couple ones in the morning.
And I can imagine it's, you know, pivoted because, you know, this has been a date that had been kind of in the works for quite some time, long before the Trump-Elon breakup, long mm-hmm. before the events of L.A. And so from an organizing perspective, I kind of was nerding out of thinking about how they probably have to change some of their messaging, how they have to retool a little bit some of their demands, because I think a lot of it was targeted at Elon. With Elon no longer being part of the administration and having this very public fallout, the message is still there. The point is still there that we still don't want to live in a world with a fascist dictator, right? Whether it's Elon Musk or it's Donald Trump. So I think just like from an organizing perspective, I'm thinking like, oh, they have to retool a couple yeah. things a little yeah, bit. Yeah. And this is probably having to come together very, very quickly, too. So just an extra perspective on that. Let's go to another caller with Joe from Madison.
Hey, you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Great, great. Just great show. Really interesting perspective. I was fascinated by that role of cities and towns across our state that are participating in this protest, and particularly with the title of No Kinks. I think yeah. that is so important because it comes back to the very first item in our First Amendment, which is freedom of speech, you know, freedom mm-hmm. of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, you know, the right to petition the government for the redress of grievances. And I forgot one in there, but I got four out of the five. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to mention is that, you know, the bluster of Mr. Trump when he's saying, you know, we're going to arrest Newsom. The very first thing that came across my mind is, for what? What on yeah. earth would you be arresting him for? And I think it's really important to sort of turn things around and say, okay, for what? How? What? And he came up with this lame-o. It was, quote, if you impede law enforcement and if you harbor undocumented immigrants, everybody should be arrested who does that. Well, hey, as Mark pointed out, January 6th, you know, they were impeding law enforcement. Mm-hmm. In terms of harboring undocumented immigrants, well, you know, there's a very sore subject in our state and very important subject in our state, which is the use of undocumented immigrants in our dairy industry. I mean, they can't make it. The small dairies, not the mega ones, but the small ones, the family farm dairies, are not going to make it without having that kind of help.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think I don't know if people fully understand the scale of this. I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, I don't know if this really impacts me. And it's just like, if it's not the protests, you know, specifically, it is the ICE raids. I think I'm mm-hmm. viewing this in like two buckets, right? Even if you aren't, for whatever reason, sympathetic to what's happening. And I know a lot of folks are, and a lot of folks are also like, I have to be concerned about me and trying to protect myself. Well, another way that this is affecting you is also this idea of this militarization that could impact everybody and taking away our freedom of speech and all of that. So,
right. And it gets back to, like you said, Joe, foundational principles, right? Yeah. These are foundational principles yep. of what makes the United States of America the United States of America. Yeah. And those principles are under attack by the Trump administration. And yeah, no kings.
Yeah,
no kings.
No kings, no dictators, no, you know, yeah. anything that goes with that. And it's just, you know, Trump knows that these protests are happening all across the country. You know, mm-hmm. he knows this. Mm-hmm. And he's one for vanity. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm very curious to see how he's celebrating his birthday.
And the Newsom back and forth. You mentioned the caller mentioned that. What do you make of the Newsom back and forth?
We can get into it in the next part. Oh, my gosh. Gavin Newsom's from California. Okay, they don't play that in California, and I think yeah. that comes out in his response. One last time, you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, and to be entered to win through our Civic Media app, the word of the day is bug. You have a couple more minutes left, and we return. We will have some extra co-hosts and or guest hosts, and we will continue this conversation. We will listen from you and hear from you, and after the break.
as Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
See, you're speechless too.
I mean, I love it.
We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Angela Lang, and I am joined by my friends Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. And this whole time, we've been talking about the current events and news in LA and what that means for the bigger picture. And we want to continue with this conversation and then transition over into our good friend, State Representative Darren Madison. But we want to take one last call while we continue to talk about the events in LA. So Ali from the Northwoods, you're up.
Hi, I actually started to call yesterday about this, but Maggie started talking. I just wanted to say that I think that Trump is worried. He never worried about the protests before, but I think since Musk has said that he was going to try to impede the elections for the Republicans, all of a sudden this is a big deal to Trump, and I think that he is trying to cause a division, a reaction forcing the United States to be able to be put under martial law.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think there's a lot of folks that think that this is generally the kind of a trap. Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for the call, Ollie, as always. But I disagree just in one area. I don't think Trump is worried about the protests. I think Trump is actually rubbing his hands together about protests and
sure.
just hoping they get more violent so we can use them as a pretext just to bring in the Insurrection Act and bring the tanks down Main Street.
Mm.
I agree with you there, Matt. That's for sure. Yeah, I think he wants a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think knowing him, knowing his temperament, knowing his rhetoric, right? I do think that he wants a fight, which is also, you know, kind of zooming in a little bit instead of zooming out, thinking more to Wisconsin. What does it look like knowing that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin will elect a new chair this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
What does a chair look like for Wisconsin Democrats, understanding the reputation that we have in Wisconsin? What does the chair do to meet this moment? And this is why we wanted to bring in State Representative Darren Madison.
Look at that segue from this segue. Radio professional here.
I tried. I feel like Dan was looking at me like, where is she going with this? So if folks haven't seen State Rep Madison, I'm just going to call you Darren. We're not going to do the formalities here. I love you,
Works
bro. Darren and I co-authored a op-ed for the Recombobulation Area. Shout out to Dan for publishing it. Talking about what we wanted to see in the next state party chair. And, you know, when I started kind of thinking about something like this, and I was like, Darren has a lot of thoughts. We have a lot of conversations about this. So I wanted to give you the first word of, you know, what you're looking for, and specifically thinking about the piece and why the piece was important to be written, especially in this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're in a critical moment, right, around the nation, where folks are trying to figure out how to navigate these tumultuous. Always say it wrong. These times.
Yes.
And you know, as that's happening, right, Wisconsin is going through a transition in party leadership. Right now, what I've heard from consistently from folks around the state, as folks have requested me to go to community meetings and so on, is they want to be clearly hear from Democrats what we're fighting for, and two, know how to get engaged in a way that that gives them hope.
Mm.
And what a new party chair means is they get to dictate what that hope looks like.
Mm.
So we, you know, in our article talk about what we hope to see from that chair, from a few things, right? How does this chair, you know, leverage this moment? How does this chair, you know, leverage the left? And then how does this chair work with folks who are elected in a way that past chairs have not? Those are critical pieces to this conversation that I have not heard consistently from a lot of folks in the mix.
I mean, it's a big decision that the party is making this weekend, right? The convention is happening. There's the three candidates. We know, you know, kind of their backgrounds. We know both Darren, you and Angela have endorsed Joe Zepecki.
Yes, full disclosure.
In this race as well. But I think, you know, part of what you said here, I think, is really important to highlight. I'm gonna pull one quote here. You guys wrote that reputation of constantly organizing and fighting must continue, and it starts with persistently painting the picture of the impacts of the Trump agenda. I think the Wisconsin Democratic Party chair is a position that has outsized importance. It is not just important to the people in Wisconsin, but because of our place on the national political landscape, this is a role that has importance, that has national implications. So Wisconsin is going to keep this reputation as being a fighter, as being, you know, being organizing and fighting at the Trump agenda. I think it is really important to see that fight come through from the next party chair, too.
Absolutely. And when you think about a state like Wisconsin, we've been fighting and organizing since basically Scott Walker. I was going to say Donald Trump. Since Scott Walker.
Yeah, since before,
right?
Donald Trump.
Yeah. The before times. The before four times. In 2010, basically, you know, in 2011 with the budget repair bill and all of those things. And I tell people that's why Wisconsin is so able to kind of meet some of these moments in ways that we kind of sometimes surprise ourselves. It's because there's this culture of a dozen plus years of organizing. Mm-hmm. We will continue this conversation after the break. Keep it locked to the Maggie Dawn Show. We are excited to have State Representative Darren Madison. And we'll hear from callers when we come back.
And you got one more minute to go. Text BUG
B-U-G.
From the Civic Media app for the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Stick with us.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. California's governor has filed an emergency request for a federal judge to stop the deployment of federal troops to Los Angeles. President Trump deploying the National Guard and Marines after protests against immigration raids turned violent. He blamed California's governor for the unrest. ABC's Alex Stone is in L.A.
President Trump told reporters that he talked to Governor Gavin Newsom on Monday and told him he's doing a bad job. Newsom's office tells ABC News the president did not call the governor yesterday. Newsom on social media saying he did not get a phone call from the president or even a voicemail from him.
In London, high-level talks will continue between the U.S. and China with renewed hopes that a trade deal can be reached. It comes as the World Bank is out with its forecast, saying President Trump's tariffs are expected to slow economic growth this year in the U.S. and around the globe. Severe storms leaving a trail of destruction in the south and northeast with heavy winds, tornadoes, and even flooding. This is ABC News.